Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Hi, this is Siri. I would never, never, ever listen to the Earth Station One podcast. Who the heck says howdy anyway? Why don't you listen to Chris Hardwick instead? I can get you his information. The Nerdist is everywhere anyway, haha. That was a joke. The Earth Station One podcast. It's time to let your inner geek out to play. You can find them at www.earthstationone.com or up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace, and we're done.
Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster. Yes, finally, this podcast is now done. I am still recovering. I think I got bronchitis or something because I was quite phlegmy. Like Peggy Fleming, or Ian Fleming. And if you got that reference, you're old. Really old like me. Alright, so, my apologies. Lots of things had happened, but let me get to the stuff that I will be talking about. But before I do, you remember a while ago I talked about how I refused to watch Beauty and the Beast, the live-action one with Emma Watson? Yeah. Well, guess what? I watched that crap. This all came about because my daughter, my wife and I got our daughter her first concert ticket. So she was going to see Panic at the Disco. And we had time off that evening. So we went up and she took her friend to watch the concert. So while we were up, we were planning to stay in the area, have dinner, watch a movie before we go home after the concert because it's much more north than where we live right now. So it wound up that we had to take our son as well because there was a mix-up and confusion, and we didn't have anyone to watch our son for those many hours. So, fine. We'll probably catch Power Rangers. I was willing to watch Power Rangers and sit there. But no, we got there later than I thought, and the only thing that was going to be playing was Beauty and the Beast. And for the 2 hours that I was sitting there, my arms were folded across my chest, and I was sitting there angry. Angry because this movie was terrible. And I knew that going in. And every scene and every shot, every musical number just kept getting progressively worse. And I'm like, God, really? I wasn't supposed to be here. But yet, here I was watching this stupid Beauty and the Beast moment. But in fairness, okay, the only moment that made me feel they could have done that more. Josh, here we go again. Josh Gad, who played LaFou in the Beauty and the Beast, they were doing a whole Gaston song, and he was trying to spell out Gaston's name, and he couldn't because he realized he was illiterate, was hysterical. That was the moment that I'm like, it wasn't in the animated movie, so I wasn't expecting it, and then, boof, there it was, and it was brilliant. That's what I wanted to have seen more of. And yes, it did expand the whole, well, what happened to, you know, Belle's mom? All right, fine. It wasn't much of a story to begin with. But I was just angry with the whole thing. Because, you know, I didn't even realize how many people were in this movie until they turned back into being human. So I'm like, oh, there's Ben Kenobi. Oh, there's Magneto. Oh, there's Hermione. And then the guy from Legion who played the Beast. So I'm like, I blotted out all the people that were in there. So I wasn't as if I was like caring about the stars. I really didn't care until at the very end and realized, oh, that's a hell of a lot of people that I really was mad at. But still, on the exact same week that this came out, again, this is delayed because it's supposed to have come out last week, there was talk about Will Smith possibly playing the genie from the Aladdin, the live-action one. So, on one hand, I'm mad at Disney for the fact that they're doing all the animated movies as live-action, and then they'll milk that to death as well as make everything that they had as a property into a Broadway show, and that's fine. But the problem lies is that when you're doing stuff that is exactly the same, there's almost no point. Point in case was Shrek. The first Shrek movie was made into a Broadway musical, and I thought, all right, fine, let's see how they're going to do this. And finally saw this on Netflix, and actually I liked it. Because there were bits that were not in the movie and songs that were not in the movie. So it was done differently for the stage and how it was presented. I was happy with that. But honestly, we're going to get Mulan and everything else under the sun that I grew up watching into a live-action movie. So it's not bad enough that they're rebooting. They're cannibalizing on what they already gave you. Repackaging again as something brand new when it's not new, and it was just like, remember the things that I have the issue with when it comes to the DVDs, like Blu-rays? You know, you get the first issue that comes out 6 months later, oh, the Ultimate Edition, now with bonus footage and film commentary, or whatever it is, down the road, and I'm like, don't do that. Just give me what I want and I'll go away. So I'm kind of really ticked at Disney for doing that. So when I passed that moment and finally got home really late, I had to have some kind of, like I said, a mental sorbet, a movie sorbet to kind of clean out my feeling of disgust over Disney. So I finally got to see Moana. So that was waiting for me at my work. And I saw this and I'm like, I like this movie a lot. I really did. And I just could not, again, get an earworm out of my head for the next couple of days because I watched it twice with myself and then my wife. And I loved the movie tremendously. And I even got the soundtrack again from my library's digital service. So I was playing the soundtrack over and over again and just got stuck in my head. But still, at least that was something better than what I saw with Beauty and the Beast. And I blame my daughter. Because growing up, at the age of two or three, it was like every day we were watching Beauty and the Beast, the animated movie, every day for dinner. And it was just like, oh my God, enough with the Beauty and the Beast. Can we see like something else? No. So, in fairness, I really hated the movie to begin with before I knew there was even a live action. So, the fact that I had to then see this, I was more resentful of it going in. And man, it didn't work at all. Everything that Emma Watson tried to bring to the screen, it just was falling flat. I couldn't give two rats' ass about the Beast. Because he had nothing of interest. And honestly, I would have been more impressed. Let's go back to old school special effects makeup. I would have loved to have seen that. I would have been more impressed if they did that route. But there was nothing original about the Beast because it was all CGI. No. Enough of the CGI. And on top of all that, all the people that were turned into inanimate objects, like the clock and the teapot and all that. Horrible. Horrible. So, yes, it made $1 billion. But honestly, it wasn't as if the whole LaFont moment that happened at the end, which was him dancing with another person that was at the party, that was not the cause of alarm that I'm even bitching at. Because that was nothing. That was really nothing. I'm just upset the movie sucked. So, all right. So, speaking of Moana, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to be hosting SNL on May 20th, which is a season finale for the season. Melissa McCarthy on May 13th and Chris Pine for May 6th. So, hopefully, with Chris Pine leading up to Wonder Woman coming out June 2nd, which, not this podcast, the next one, which will be done in a couple of minutes, is going to be talking about the marketing issue with Wonder Woman, because there seems to be a lack thereof. I have three kind of quick topics I'm going to go into. So after that, I'll be dealing with Star Wars, the 40th anniversary celebration that happened in Orlando. So let's get started with Krypton.
Kal-El, my future grandson. By the time you hear these words, your birth world will be a distant memory. The House of El led a revolution against tyranny. The story of your family isn't how we died, but how we lived. I know you will fight to save your world, just as I fought to save mine.
Find the fortress.
Your name is El.
Never forget it.
The blood of House El will always bind us together.
Alright, so that is the trailer for Krypton. And what's weird about this, again, this is a delayed podcast. I recorded that audio clip from the trailer. And I usually try to rewatch the trailers to kind of refresh myself as to what I just saw in my feelings and so forth, but it's nowhere to be found. So basically, I had to rely on just the audio portion to kind of recover what I was originally going to do weeks ago. So nonetheless, let's look at this from a couple of points. This is going to be on the Sci-Fi or the Syfy channel, so that's one. This is going to be produced by David S. Goyer, who wrote the Man of Steel movie, as well as he's done a couple other great sci-fi stuff. I think the last project that he did was, and I'm blanking out, it was Da Vinci, which I really liked the soundtrack because Bear McCreary was attached to that. And so it was an interesting concept with the show. And of course, the music was fantastic. So we'll see if that even happens with that kind of combination. But right off the bat, if we're looking at David Goyer doing this, I don't see him being available to do Man of Steel down the road. So that may be off the table altogether. So we'll see what happens with that. But nonetheless, the idea is that we're going to do a kind of a telling of a story that no one has ever seen, which I think in the comics there might be some backstories or stories about Krypton before the explosion, but as far as live action or anything on the small or big screen, nothing has been done today. So I think this might be a really interesting concept. this is going to be dealing with a House of L, in which this is Superman's grandfather dealing with whatever issues on Krypton before we get to the events leading to Jor-El and him setting off his only son to Earth. So, if they're doing this as two generations before, does that mean that the person we're going to see is a young Jor-El, or is it the dad of Jor-El before we get Jor-El and then off goes Kal-El? So that I'm not too kind of clear on. But nonetheless, I think it's an interesting concept, and honestly, we've done lots of versions of Superboy and Smallville and Superman Adventures, but we've never really tackled the whole idea about Krypton itself. So, and then of course there was the Kevin Anderson book, the Last Days of Krypton or something to that effect. So that also, again, very little has been talked about. But hey, I'm kind of in. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen with that series. So the next one I'm going to be talking about is Cloak and Dagger. So sit back and listen to that.
Did I ever tell you about that night? You can't do this. What just happened?
It's like you're afraid if I don't do everything perfectly, you're gonna lose me.
I'm afraid even if you do everything perfectly, I'm gonna lose you.
What's your name?
Tandy. And his name was...
Yeah, Tyrone.
Don't shoot!
Wait, are you that kid?
All right, so that's the trailer to Cloak and Dagger. Now, I know of the comic. I have never read it, though. All I know is that it's a duo. The guy is in a cloak in which he can cover up the partner and they can teleport to other places, or he can send people through his cloak to other places, and then his partner, who can create these optical, I guess, daggers, can throw them at people, so that's kind of like Psylocke almost. So, and that's the way I had in my head. So they do allude to that in the trailer as to their beginning, their kind of connection to each other. The only thing that to me is a little weird is that they made them much younger than what they are in the comics. But because this is going to I guess it's a network or pseudo network called Freeform, which I've never heard of, but I was doing research and basically it's like the CW, but like a much younger version of the CW. So that universe is going to be now populated over that direction. So it's kind of a weird way of not saying tentpoling their product on a new emerging, programming station, but it's a lesser known character and they're putting it on a brand new place to get this information. So I'm not sure if that even helps, but I guess because it's a Marvel product and Disney's behind it, that they can use the boost and the recognition to freeform. So the fact that even talking about it, you now know about freeform. So aside from that, the only thing that I can get my head wrapped around this is that it's going to be, once again, another superhero, but a superhero that we haven't seen before, because this is going to be a duo. So unlike, let's say, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is not a team, but there are powered people and not necessarily paired up. And then we have the Netflix versions, which are individual stories, and eventually we're going to get the Defenders group come August. This is really the first kind of superheroes that are paired as an item. So that's something we haven't seen before. And basically, you know, we're looking at a more diverse cast, which is something that, again, I've always talked about how I'm always eager to see something like that. So we get a female lead and a male lead who happens to be African-American. So, again, that's something that is important for this franchise, for Marvel to kind of accept who they are in this new reality that you think that, where did this come from? No, we're always been here. It's just you don't represent the people that are around you. So there's a whole issue around the Marvel comics and why the sales are falling because of all the quote-unquote diversity problems you had in the comics, which is a separate issue which I'm not going to get into. But for right now, when it comes to stuff that's on the big screen and the small screen, it really does matter to have this type of casting being done, because you do need to represent people who are the people who are going to buy your product. So if the issue is for Marvel and their comics are falling, there are other issues which are not diversity. So I'll leave it at that. So this is coming out in 2018. So we got some time on that to happen. But we'll see what happens with this. My only thing is that they are not going to have any kind of crossover for right now. So I don't see any of the Defenders coming onto the show or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because, again, no one's doing that, any kind of crossover. So we'll see what happens in the future if we get more information. I'm eager to see this play out, but we'll see what happens because, again, I'm not too familiar with these characters, but I have enough time, and so do you, to actually go into your comics or to your library and check out Cloak and Dagger. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, normally, I would be playing some kind of trailer or some kind of audio cue in regards to the clip, and I've been trying to do that for every segment, the three big segments that I do. So I'm going to be talking about Captain Marvel, right? Which is starring Brie Larson. I have nothing. I have no music. I even tried looking at a fan trailer to say, hey, maybe I can work this in. No. So I'm going to be talking about Captain Marvel. Now, the reason why I'm even bringing this up, and it seems to be like, why? So if you remember the Women's March that happened right after the inauguration of the Orange One, I tweeted out a picture of Miss Marvel, or Captain Marvel, which is the current comic version of that character, and I put the word resist on in between her arms, basically, and she was flying, and Brie Larson liked it on Twitter. So I was just like, hey, out of like thousands and millions of tweets that go out there, that came across her attention. So I'm like, hey, I got a connection. So I'm now a fan. Not that I wasn't before, but I'm like super duper a fan of Brie Larson. So, but the big news is that we are getting a new director, but a duo, which is kind of weird for a film like this. So we're getting Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck as co-directors for Captain Marvel. So that's a bit of a departure from what's been done before. I mean, I know, you know, the Russo brothers and the Wachowskis are nothing new when it comes to co-directing, but it seems kind of weird for a movie like this on this kind of a smaller scale. It's just a single hero that you would need two directors. So as I was looking on their IMDb record, basically these are two people that actually are well known to be good collaborators. So they kind of started working together on small indie projects and a couple of TV projects. So it's a duo thing. So that's kind of cool, which I thought it was a little weird thing that, well, why can't it just have a female director like Patty Jenkins for Wonder Woman? But no, they're a duo. So, all right, I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to bitch and complain as to it has to be a woman to direct a female superhero movie, but whatever the case, kudos to them. If that's what they work best as a pair, fine, let's go with that. The other thing that I've noticed that there's a rumor going around, and it is on IMDb, but it is, again, rumored, is that Samuel L. Jackson will be appearing as Nick Fury. So we'll see what happens with that in the future, but we're not going to see Captain Marvel for quite some time. So we're looking at I think, March 8th, 2019, to see that happen. So again, we're still a couple years away from this, but at least we got something a little more concrete going forward to make this an actual movie. So again, as I find out more information about Captain Marvel, I will talk about this here on this podcast. All right, so that ends my big three topics for this podcast. Now I'm going to be talking about my favorite subject, which is Star Wars! Luke's. So yes, 40th anniversary of Star Wars Celebration is at hand. And man, am I grateful to have watched this constantly through YouTube over the weekend. Not that I wouldn't mind to have been in the mix in Orlando, but I know how crazy something like this would have been. And how huge the lines would have been to wait for anything. So, honestly, if there was going to be a short change, it would have been a couple of people that I would have loved to have seen. There was the actors themselves that I would love to have seen in person or get the autographs, and a couple of artists. But honestly, I can wait. I had the best seats in the house. Granted, they kept playing the Star Wars Cantina theme song constantly in between the damn breaks. But hey, I'm not complaining because it was free to me. So nonetheless, I'm going to be talking about a couple of different items about all the things that I liked or stuff that I want to bring up to your attention. And I'm going to end the podcast with the last Star Wars the Star Wars Last Jedi trailer and talk about that panel before ending the show. Alright, so let's start off with the panel that had the Star Wars Rebels. So we now know that season 4 is going to be the last season for Rebels. So, the thing that, unfortunately, I already spoiled for myself was that the fact that, since I have not seen past Season 1, the big showdown in Season 2 was Ahsoka Tano versus Vader. Something had happened. We don't know what happened to the Fate, but supposedly she still lives. Again. And that's a Clone Wars reference in which, if you've not seen the final season, which didn't air, but was on Netflix, you know she lives. So, one of the cool things is that she is going to be brought back for season 4. So, is this going to be the final ending of this character? I don't know, but I'm eager now to see how this all plays out. The only thing they did mention what was not going to happen was that it was not going to lead up into the battle at Scarif, as seen in Rogue One. So, if you've seen Rogue One, the ghost ship does show up in there towards the last bit of the battle. But as far as the crew, you don't see them. Supposedly, Chopper is in Rogue One in the back scene somewhere, which, one, I don't have the DVD yet, and two, I saw it twice and I still missed it, so we'll see what happens with that. So, it's kind of sad that that's ending, but honestly, after I heard the Clone Wars were ending, and then a new series was going to happen, I didn't really think that I would care about Rebels, but really, that first season, if you watch it all the way through, it's a lot of fun to get through that whole premise about the Empire has not been established and seeing a different side of the war that's going on. And of course, who doesn't love Chopper on top of that? So, but I'm really eager to find out how, again, this is all going to play out. So I think we have about 15 episodes for the final season. So I can't wait. I really can't wait to see it again, how this comes to be. But I have a long way to go because I still, again, have to catch up on season 2 and 3. So, all right. So, the next bit of news we have is going to be for the Star Wars book series that are going to be coming out. So, one of the things that, you know, years ago, after Return of the Jedi, as I mentioned before, years ago, there was nothing. As far as books, there was nothing. Yes, we had the Star Wars comic books, but for actual books, nothing. Timothy Zahn came out with his trilogy for The Heir to the Empire, The Last Command, and I'm blanking out on one of the titles. I'm sorry, it's late for me. But what's cool about this is that since the rebirth of the special edition, books have been coming out and really are flooding the market. So you have a wealth of material that's coming out. And especially now we have a new set of trilogies plus the spinoffs. Every year we're going to get a whole new set of books and backstory fillers. So in the comics, we're going to get a Captain Phasma. It's a special 5-issue miniseries that Marvel is going to be putting out. We have Leia, Princess of Alderaan, which is a young adult novel, which is coming out also. I think it's already out, but I have to get that order from my branch. We have The Legends of Luke Skywalker. Then we have Star Wars Made Easy, the DK movie-making magic, Creature and Aliens from Abrams. So, another great book to have, and I really do love those detailed synopsis of everything about a character, even down to the outfit and what these things are referred to as far as their gear or their comm badge or whatever it is. That's the kind of stuff that I really geek out over. And then one of my favorites, it's going to be the Incredibles, which is going to be the A-Wing and BB-8. If you see on my Instagram account, I believe I took a picture of my Millennium Falcon Incredibles, which, you know, it took me about a half an hour. Wasn't that hard to do, but it came out really nice. I'm not sure if I want to paint it because I don't want to ruin it, but I really like those kind of nice, intricate wood. It's a light wood model. You just put it all together. It has no need of glue, and it's all popped out, so you don't lose anything. But so we're going to get the A-Wing and the BB-8 character coming out as well. And then we have the Star Wars Keepsake coloring book, which I know coloring books are a big thing now, but I suck at coloring. I haven't colored for years, and I would hate to ruin a book with my, you know, my shading skills. So, but in any case, that's coming out. Then we have, of course, the Power of the Force 8x8, a leader named Leia. So there's just so much that's coming out that I just cannot wait to really dive into, especially for me at my library, since I get to order books for my patrons and for my section. All of this is something that I have to be aware of, because, you know, down the road, we're going to get a big demand for anything Star Wars. And I've already seen the paperbacks I've added to donations, which were a lot of Star Wars titles, and those are getting checked out. So it's, for a lack of a better word, there are a lot of Star Wars fans that are really enjoying this. So whatever I can put in their hands, however way, whether it's kids' books or adult graphic novels or the big illustrated encyclopedias, I'll get it for them. Because, again, it's all about the reading. When I grew up, in between Empire and Return of the Jedi, there was a nice, kind of like a paperback version or a graphic novel version of Empire Strikes Back, which, because there was no DVDs, there was no VHS, you couldn't even watch this on TV because it wasn't even available then. So I had this paperback graphic novel that I would reread over and over again, which I lost many years ago. And my co-host, Mr. Gene, bought me a copy. So talk about filling in a childhood pleasure with that book. He did me a solid on that. So, Mr. Gene, thank you on that. Again, always, your kindness is underrated, to say the least. So, but that's the kind of thing that I want new readers to get into with the Star Wars books. So, and like I planning to do for the summer is that I'm looking to do Dungeons and Dragons role playing. I would love to dovetail that into Star Wars role playing for the winter programming. So, you know, it's a lot of cool stuff to play into, and why the hell not? This is a great time to be a Star Wars fan. And if you're not, then you need to get on board. All right, the other bit of news is we're going to get Star Wars Battlefront 2, which I love the first game, if I ever get to play it, because my son, again, plays it constantly, and he got the season pass and played that too. I barely get to play. But another case, what's interesting about Battlefront 2 is that you're playing now as the Empire, and you're going to be taking a role of a character that is witnessing the destruction of the second Death Star from Endor. And what I don't know officially is that, is this going to be a single campaign from that point on? You play that whole story mode, but you are able to then play three different kinds of eras. You have the prequels, you have the middle stories, which we all started with in Star Wars, and then, of course, the new trilogy. So there is going to be, supposedly, no season pass, which that'd be interesting. And then you're playing all the different villains. So I'm kind of interested to see how this all plays out. But again, one of the things that, including myself, found the kind of frustration is that the minute you start playing and you have to do this online, boom, you get shot. You get easily killed by someone else just waiting for you to be picked up. And then you're getting frustrated with the game. So if they have the story campaign in which you can play with your own characters on your own mission, then it's on you if you die and so forth, and not someone, some 12-year-old just waiting to pick you off. So we'll see what happens with that. But it is scheduled to be released November 11th, 2017. So, of course, I'm sure it's going to be a high demand for that item. But I will not tell my son when it's going to be released, because I want to play the regular game for now. But I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun, because, again, from what I saw and what I little bit of did play of the original Battlefront, it's a lot of fun, and I cannot enjoy Battlefront even more without having those moments of just kind of geeking out in that world. What would be so cool, and I doubt that will ever happen, but put that into a VR component, then we're talking about an ultimate game of being really immersed in that universe. So we'll see whatever happens in the future. All right, so the other thing that started right off the bat from the Star Wars Celebration was the Carrie Fisher tribute, which, of course, watching it, it's always heartbreaking to watch her, especially when she starts to recite the lines that she had from the movies at different points in her life, from the young Carrie Fisher, the older Carrie Fisher, and right before she had died, Carrie Fisher. So, it's just, again, unexpected, and I'm sure it's going to be even more heartbreaking when we see her for the last time in the new Star Wars movie. But what I think really put things over the top was that once that little montage of her finished, we hear and see John Williams, and they play the Princess Leia's theme that he wrote all those years ago. So I can only imagine how it must have sound. And I had a recent experience about a couple of weeks ago in which I saw a concert in which they did sci-fi music. So when I heard them play E.T. and the J.J. Abrams 2009 version of Star Trek, and they played the end credits to Empire Strikes Back, it broke me, because the music was so well done. It was as if the music that I knew, beat by beat, was something that only I knew. But to hear this done live, and to be done so amazingly beautiful with what I heard, it just brought me to tears. So if I was there at Celebration and seeing the guy that got me on the path of loving soundtracks, my hero, John Williams, if I saw him there and then he plays this, I would have lost it even more so. Because again, that's a special guy in my life, that his music had meant the world to me. So it was fitting, it was appropriate, but it was truly heartbreaking to listen. So, and it does take on a whole new meaning when you listen to that music and knowing that she's no longer around. But at least he's still here. We still have Carrie Fisher at least one more time. So, all right, so yeah, it was not all sunshine and games, but let's move on. All right, so right before we get into the final panel, let's talk about the Star Wars poster that came out during the panel, in which we see first the red background with Rey holding up a lightsaber, and then the big reveal was on top, where that lightsaber glare was going straight up the middle, and to the left was Luke, and to the right was Kylo. Not my cat, who I named after. So, what is very cool about it is that it reminds me of Ralph McQuarrie's work. But the bigger question, which I'll get into in just a moment, is why is Luke in red? So I'll talk about that in a moment. I'm going to take a quick break and play the trailer to Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
Ah! islands.
So much bigger.
One truth. It's time for the Jedi to end.
So what exactly did Luke mean, it's time for the Jedi to end? That, my friends, I think is the million-dollar question. But if you look at the teaser poster, why is he bathed in red, as I asked earlier? Are we going to get an evil Luke? Are we going to get a pissed-off Luke? Because I'm thinking this is what it's going to be, is that Luke is going to be not so much an instrument of death, but he is going to be cleaning house for some reason. And either he's going to go after Kylo, or he's going after Rey. I have no idea. But considering what has been done to Luke, and hence the subtitle to this podcast, from a certain point of view, the line that was given to him from Ben Kenobi about not revealing the truth about who his father is, that Anakin Skywalker was really Darth Vader. So, what Luke said, well, from a certain point of view, to me, that was the big mistake, to send the son of Skywalker to kill his father and not to tell him that he's doing this. If that doesn't play games in your head, I don't know what does. And then you flash forward to the events after Return of the Jedi, in which Kylo is being trained by Luke, who betrays him, winds up killing Han Solo. So there's a lot of things that's really wrong with the whole Skywalker family. But honestly, I can understand why Luke wants none of this. And then here we are again, being brought back to fight or to train, whatever the case is. Through the course of the story, Luke said, that's it, I've had enough, it's time for the Jedi to end. So who knows how that's going to play out. But again, when I look at that poster, something is going to push Luke to the dark side. And I hope that kind of does play out. But we'll see what happens. So the other thing that I liked about the trailer, well, let me clarify. A lot of comparisons have been made about this trailer versus the Force Awakens trailer, which, if you get a chance, you can see a back-to-back or a side-to-side version of it. And you can actually see that it is quite similar in many respects as far as shot composition and placement and so forth. So, yeah, I'm hoping that that's not going to be the case in the future, where you slide in the next movie, whatever the title's going to be, and do the exact same thing but with different characters and different beats. Still, visually, I think it's interesting. We are going to see Leia again, which, no big surprise, but again, this is the last time we're going to see her. We are going to get an epic battle on the ground, which we do see AT-AT walkers in the far distance. Of course, another space battle that's going to happen. But I think what's going to be interesting is the fact that we're all going to get some kind of continuation with the relationship with Kylo Ren and and Rey, and hopefully we'll get a bigger connection as to who the identity is going to be between the two of them. Are they related? Are they cousins? In the panel, Josh Gad kept asking Daisy the Ridley, are you going to tell me your last name? And he kept asking different names like Kenobi or Skywalker. And it's like, what are you, the Madonna of Jakku? Because she only has the one name. So it was kind of funny. And of course, if you've seen the videos, he keeps pressing on about what's the secret or what's going on in the next movie. And he brought in different actors, and this was the culmination of all that to happen. While the panel was interesting to go for, it didn't really give any more clues except for another new character who is going to be Rose, who is kind of, I guess, Finn-like, but not a stormtrooper. She worked in janitorial, and she's going to be playing a part. So we'll see how that all plays out. But what I think got me really more excited was if I heard this score for the first time in this trailer, I am expecting that to be in the movie, because Rey's theme is a lot stronger in this, and it's a lot more epic than the very beginnings of what we heard in The Force Awakens. So it has to be a major improvement over the last movie, because it really hurts not to be swept up with the great visuals that they had in the movie. But here, it does work, and I'm hoping that we do get that great score. Again, I love John Williams, but that last movie, that was hard to go through, because it had very little impact on what I watched. Again, even the prequels had a better soundtrack, and people hated the prequels, but you cannot knock that music. It was epic. It was awesome. All right, so that's going to be an end, finally, to this podcast. So all I can say is that thank you for your patience. Please follow me on the various social networks. You can always email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. Please follow me on iTunes. It really does help me when you subscribe. So thank you very much for listening to me and the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. Sci-fi, from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.